Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott try Rodney Strong's Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Wine Vault.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It's I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'm illustrious, folks. I'm illustrious. The illustrious one.
Whoever says that about themselves?
Well, you always say we have an illustrious panel.
I didn't say that tonight, did I?
You haven't been saying that. I feel left out.
Yeah, connect the dots.
God damn it, son.
So, and I'm a ladies... and mostly ladies, I am apologizing because the superstar is not on tonight because does he know that we're podcasting tonight? I didn't say anything.
Damn it, son.
He'll probably text us tomorrow night and we'll be at the top, but that's okay.
Oh.
I didn't tell him about that either. But still, we are here tonight to entertain you, to educate you, mostly probably hopefully to entertain you.
Tonight won't be just any night.
I think we've kind of lost it on that. Anyway, on tonight's episode, folks, we have an interesting wine. It's one of those wines that we've looked at from afar and go, no, I won't do that. I won't pay for that. But eventually, stores get tired of having this wine on the shelf because we continually say, no, I won't buy that. I won't pay for that because... Other consumers say, I won't buy that.
I won't pay for that.
And the victim tonight, or the lucky winery, is a winery that we actually have had good experience
with. We like them.
Good experiences or good experience? Because we like the Naughty Vines.
Yep.
We like love the Knights Valley. Didn't like...
I forgot how good... that Knights Valley was.
I pretended to like the Sonoma County Cabernet, and you and the Triple B rightfully did not like it.
That's correct.
And so next...
Yeah, I think you argued with us about that.
Yeah, well, I was just full of shit. And the Chardonnay was meh. So we've had...
Yes.
Four of their wines.
But...
We haven't named who they are, but tonight is Rodney Strong.
Rodney's
back on the episode. The fifth of the wines that we've tasted from them. And this is, though, their Russian River Valley Pinot Noir from Sonoma County. We also have their Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir in the vault. But this is a 2014 vintage. And when we said that all bullshit earlier, this comes in around $18 to $20.
Yeah, the wine.com has it marked off at $25 and then selling it at $18.99. Mm-hmm. But you got this at clearance?
I got this in the clearance shopping cart for $13.99.
But we did, you know, and we've talked about this ad nauseum,
mm-hmm.
you know, Pinot Noirs. Realistically, you know, entry-level pricing is $20.
It is.
You need to pay $20 to expect any kind of quality.
This is direct competitor with the Chalk Hill Sonoma County Pinot Noir, which we liked.
We did like
this. This is direct competitor with... there's a lot of different things. The Cambria.
Yep.
You're going to have to help me because the Klein, which we didn't like.
Ugh.
Which probably never aired because it's a terrible episode. What else?
We just haven't had good luck Delia with Lane. Entry-level price. Delia Lane.
We'd like, if we went back and tried it again, would we like
Maybe we need to do that.
I don't want to. Probably because everybody's dropped them as a product.
Why? We liked it.
Remember the cab? We did not like
it. We didn't like it.
No.
We didn't like it.
So this wine, we're going to get into this wine.
The price points. I think to find a Pinot at an entry-level price point, you really need to go to like a French Pinot. And you can find some oddball stuff out there, and maybe there you can find some quality for less than $20. But
or you could just drink Chalk Hill's Sonoma County Pinot. Or Cambria's Benchmark Pinot.
Which
we liked
a lot. Both those we liked, and it's mm-hmm. and you're going to find those, folks.
Oh, yes, you are.
But what about Rodney Strong? I'm a little bit concerned. The label has a woo-hoo on it.
That's from the That's from Kroger.
I know, but that's weird. It's just, it's a bad sign.
We'll blame Kroger. So when we get back, folks, we're going to break down the Rodney Strong here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know. Let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back. So the 2014 Rodney Strong, Russian River Valley, Pinot Noir. Starting off, Russian River Valley is an AVA within Sonoma County.
Yep.
I've been to Russian River Valley. Scott, have you been to Russian River Valley?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? What,
when were you there, Russian River Valley?
I've been there.
You've been there?
I haven't been to Rodney Strong. Or have I? I don't know. No, I don't think I went to Rodney Strong. Jeez. But it would have been in Sonoma. Russian River Valley is a beautiful wooded area. It tends to be a little bit colder. So it's a very good Pinot growing region. Not quite as cold as, say, Anderson Valley, which is even better, but it is a very nice Pinot growing region. Also grows really good Zins, higher alcohol Zins. Some of the top scoring Zins come from Russian River Valley, but Turley has no presence in the Russian River Valley, or Sonoma for that matter.
Damn them.
Oh, no, though they have an Alexander Valley.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but not much. Not much. So, a little bit background. A Wilford Wong, our buddy Wilford.
Oh, Jesus.
He provided this wine 89 of his
89
points.
89 of his points.
Which is not very many of his points.
That's a low score for him.
He has some commentary and he has tasting notes. So he has commentary. Maybe it's some wittiness or not. Pinots in the $20 range often vary in quality. That's prophetic.
And profound.
Many of them can be too dark, too heavy, or too sweet to be correct.
He's talking about Mayomi.
or too Mayomi to be correct.
Oh, my God. Have we seen anything too dark or too heavy?
Yes. Dilly Lane. We've seen too dark. I mean, Chalk Hill is too dark. Some might argue that.
But the Dilly Lane, it was kind of brickish, wasn't it?
It was way over the top. And that's the problem with Pinot. You have some that are pumping it up. The Chalk Hill, we liked it a lot, partly because it had a lot of class. Duckhorn is another one we liked a lot, too.
But it was none of those. Anyhow,
but
Wilford makes commentary.
He goes, while those characters, it should be characteristics, are sometimes appealing, they stray just a bit far from the purity of the great variety. And I will agree with that, except for the characters part. That is true. And that is something that we've been critical of as well.
Yeah.
Tasting notes, though, about this particular wine. The 14 Rodney Strong Estate Pinot Noir is nicely done and stays beautifully elegant in its grape varieties, aroma, and flavor zone. Pair its elegance with grilled chicken thighs. Okay. 15 months in small French oak barrels.
And he just tasted this March 28th.
Yeah, just recently.
So he just recently tasted this, and, you know, this may not air as recent as we're tasting this, but we're similarly tasting this in April of 2018. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And that's interesting. He's saying that this exhibits good varietal character is what he's trying to say.
And you know, looking ahead, you know, getting ahead of the glass.
It is.
The look in the glass. The nose, it's Pinot funky nose.
And it has the light brickish cherry hue when you look at it properly. And a little bit of translucence.
Yep.
It does look like a Pinot. And folks, by the way, tonight we are drinking not out of the knockoff Pinot glasses. Riedel Venom Series Burgundy glasses.
Damn it, son.
Nose raspberry. A little vanilla.
I, I just stuck my nose in and I pulled it back out because it's Pinot Funk. There is Barnyard.
Oh, there's Funk. Yeah, that's what I love though. I love mushroomy Funk. The Decoy did a good job with that. Yep. It smelled like Sherwood Forest. That's what we said.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Yeah. Sherwood
this
Forest.
This is Barnyard. This
is a little bit
Barnyard than mushroomy. But yeah, the raspberries there in the back. It's funny how your first
thing was a little bit of a strap of black licorice and alcohol too.
My first thing was that freaking Barnyard.
Mm-hmm. The Barnyard wafts right as you come in. But deep in there is some black licorice, raspberry, and a little vanilla and alcohol.
The black bat licorice. The black bat licorice. I never liked it. I never will. Kudos, Jack White. I may be wearing my Dave Matthews Band hat. I may be wearing a Sublime t-shirt. God damn, I love some Jack White.
Hmm. And I just tasted it, folks.
Mm. This, I love this nose, man.
Steve would hate this.
Well,
I'll tell you why. Throughout it is an essence of black licorice. You have all these subtle nuances, but it's framed by a trace of black licorice.
It's interesting because it is just a trace. And even when you're waffling air over it, that licorice is prominent. Mm-hmm. It's actually more prominent while you're waffling air over it than when you let it go and you're actually allowing the wine, then it becomes more subtle. Mm-hmm. But it lingers too. That hey, man. Whoa, this is a long finish. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Mm. Mm. That is Ooh. The black licorice pungent flavor lingers on the front palate. Or no, the back palate. Or no, on the roof of the mouth. That's where it is, actually. And it sits there in a kind of a radiating, smoky jamminess, while the rest of the Pinot just kind of expands.
I think
the weight, though, that one element is the weight, but it doesn't carry across the palate. The palate itself is very Pinot-esque in its softness and its quasi-lightness.
There's a lot going on here.
It is a very interesting wine.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
That is a long motherfucking finish. It is long, bro. That.
That's a very good Pinot.
Smoky.
Smoky.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think something to compare the smokiness to. Because the smokiness is probably a little more present than the licorice. But it's still really subtle. Everything in this is subtle.
It is. Well, as Pinot should be. It doesn't carry across with the Barnyard, the mushrooming necessarily.
Nope.
But.
Is there a little minerality there, though? Is there like a little.
Of a little bit something.
Like a river rock or gravel or something like
but
that.
But it's a clean.
Dusty. Mm-hmm. A dusty minerality.
Mm. Savory, except for that bright richness from that smoky ancish licorice.
But it's everything's so subtle. I don't know that I would say savory. Because more when I think savory fruits. And
but the wine is savory.
But it's not savory fruit. It's not prune. It's not plum. It's not black currant. It's not cassis. It's not.
Wow. You know what?
There's a touch of chocolate there.
It is. But you know what it manages to do? It manages to have weight and finish on the tongue, but then in the mouth, be very light. but still have richness. It's bizarre in that sense. It has a Pinot mouthfeel, but it grips on the tongue. It has a little tannin on the finish.
Oh, yeah. The tannins are grippy here.
But it's all so nicely integrated. It all works really, really well.
For sure. This is relatively complex.
It is. It does have complexity to it. I'm surprised that they didn't submit this for more reviews. And that's the thing. I mean, I know we gave the Chalk Hill. I mean, I don't see why this isn't as good as the Chalk Hill. This is a very well done wine. You're not going to mistake it for some elegant Burgundy. It's Cali, but for a wonderful little, especially I paid $13.99 for this. Holy, this is a steal. I thought I wish I would have bought everything they had. Which goes to show sometimes, folks, just because no one's bought it doesn't mean it's not good.
Wait, but we mocked us earlier. We said, no, we're not going to pay for it. We're not going to buy it. That's why it's there.
We should have
bought it. You know what? I'm going to tell you one thing. This is in the queue.
It's worth buying, isn't it?
And it's one of the $20. This is worth buying.
Oh, yeah. You know what's interesting about it? It's a wine that I wouldn't want to spoil with food. You want to sit around in a nice leather couches and drink it and sit there and just kind of think about it. I want to sit over there on that leather couch behind you, and I want to sit there and just talk about it. Just wax about it. Just go
you
on.
You don't need a meal
it.
With this, but what no. we do, you know, we have meat and cheese. This is a meat and cheese wine.
But you wanted to sit there and just have a conversation, maybe about something that is beyond your intellectual capacity.
Like the Avengers movie?
No, that's not really. No, poetry or something of that nature.
Poetry?
Something. Alfred Lord Tennyson. We're talking about poetry.
Yeah. You said poetry.
Yes. Something like that. It makes me want to be smarter.
Yeah. That's a great. No. Yeah. I wish, poetry. You know, I'm mocking you. It's terrible. You know, you sold your truck, you bought a minivan, and I'm mocking you because I wasn't listening.
So yes.
I should be more open. I should listen.
I'm sorry.
Because you said something very profound.
I would have traded
this
it in.
This is the wine
used,
that makes Rob the wine guy want to be smarter
MDX,
than he is.
But some asshole already bought the last green one. Hey, could you have an MDX with a million miles on it that I can pay too much money for? Okay, I'll buy that one.
This is the wine that makes me want to be smarter than I am.
That's right.
That's awesome.
You know,
it's
what?
A great line. It's true, though.
Next spring.
And it's
let me just
not
say
that
this.
Rob needs to be smarter than he already is because, no. You know, we all have limits in life. But it is a this is a thinker's wine.
You need a haircut. Your hair.
I do need a haircut.
Your hair is poofing out the sides.
Well, I didn't gel up.
Just on the side. You don't want to take off that. You don't want to take off your hair on the top because that'll make it look like you're balding.
I am balding.
I know you're balding. Everybody knows that.
Oh, it's fine. It's part of life. It's okay.
You have a wave over. Just a wave over. No, I've got a little bit of thinning right here. I just noticed that. I'm like, you know what I need to do? Get the spray. So you just darken it in.
Oh, Jesus.
It's kind of how my hair parts, because it's not really thin back there.
Carly Simon.
Just like...
Carly Simon.
Carly Simon. What about her?
You're so vain. Probably think the song is about you.
I'm kind of getting over that. This wine is vain.
We talk about this all the time on the show. Maybe not all the time, because we don't often have wines that are worthy of thinking about. Wines, as you said, you want to sit on the couch and talk about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here.
It's unique in a lot of ways. Pinot is very popular in today's culture, not because of wines like this, though.
People want to think they know wines like this.
Wilford, as he said, many of them can be too dark, too heavy, or too sweet to be correct. And those are the ones that are popular.
But let's give over some props. He nailed this. Whether we scored as high as he did or not, he's spot on with this one. He called this an 89. Mm-hmm. This is he's done a good job on this wine. He nailed it.
He wasn't all that descriptive. Beautifully elegant in this grape's varietal aromas and flavor zone.
I'm going to
start using the term flavor zone. This wine is properly a resident of the wine's flavor town.
Flavor town?
Yeah.
Okay. You, the Guy Fieri of reviews. Wine guy going in for more. This is a beauty. I mean,
it's in the right flavor zone.
It is in the right flavor zone.
I went to school for that. I wonder if that's a test in the sommelier's exam. What flavor zone is this wine in? Is this wine show good flavor zone?
Back to the wine. Mocking man.
It's too dark. What the fuck is that? It's too dark. It's not in flavor zone.
Speaking of flavor zones, how often have we used the term smoky?
Won't you take me to flavor zone?
Oh, Jesus.
I just want to know.
This is going to be one of those nights,
flavor
folks.
Flavor zone.
What other wine have we used smoky to describe?
Well, if we had...
One of the French?
If we ever had a Pinotage, which we haven't...
Not a good one.
No, Beaujolais was more of the meaty minerality.
One of those French we talked about, like a campfire-like thing. Like a campfire-like taste in our mouth.
Bastide's Malford.
This is...
Nebbiolos can have a little bit of smokiness to them. But
was it one of the Italians? I don't recall.
I don't think we have a Nebbiolo up there on the board.
It's not a characteristic, a flavor characteristic we talk about. This has a smokiness to it.
The Warriors Warrior had a bit of a smoke to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that hint of licorice. And it really is... It's both subtle and prominent because it is there all the time.
But
it's subtle.
It's just one element. It frames it.
It's just one element. And it's so... Have we had another wine that's had such a subtlety that frames the entire thing? That licorice does frame this wine. And it's so subtle. You could easily miss the licorice here. Yep. You could. Hmm. But you know what? I'm going to point this out as almost a flaw and not quite a flaw, but it's one of the things I like the most about it. The expression of fruit here is almost non-existent, and I kind of like that.
Well,
there's some berry, but that's about it, man. And what berry are you going to call that? It's just this, there's berry there. He's pulling hard, folks. He's pulling hard. Mm. What do you got for fruit? Talk to me.
Well, I choked myself a little bit. I have to try again, folks.
Damn it, son. He choked himself. I can't believe he's talking about that on air.
Let me reset. I have to drink more. Well, raspberry is part of it.
That's what I...
The mocha. There is...
it's so nice. This wine is so nice.
A tart blueberry.
No.
Yep. Yep. There is. But it has a wonderful richness to it. While still maintaining that Pinot bounciness. It's a... You know what? Overall, as from a mouthfeel and a structure-wise... It's one of my favorite Pinots we've had on the show.
If not my favorite Pinot on the show. He's looking at the wall. It's going to be hard.
I like it better. I'll tell you right now. I like it better as a drinking wine than the Chalk Hill. I do. I do like it better.
Damn, son. I just drank half the bottle.
That's because it's really good. It's seriously a good wine. And it's hard to...
I don't know if we can score this high enough to get it in the Hall of Fame. Are we going to have...
There's red currant there. There's also raspberry.
I think you're reaching.
No, I'm not. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And we're going to come back here with more on the Wine Vault.
Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at Wine Vault Podcast. And our website is winevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to talk a little bit about my weekend.
Scott, what happened on your weekend, Rob?
I had a good weekend.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Triple B and I went out for a little date night.
Oh.
We went to a place that we've went to 1,000 times. The intention was to go someplace we hadn't been for a while, but we ended up back at Hudson 29. And I think we've talked about Hudson 29 here on the show.
We love Hudson 29.
Really just an enjoyable restaurant. A wonderful menu. It's a Cameron Mitchell joint.
But were you able to go to Hudson 29 and not get the prime rib?
Yes.
What?
I was. Partly because tomorrow night, folks, the unlicensed and myself and Adam, my friend Adam.
We love Adam.
We will be going to the Top, a beautiful, gorgeous steakhouse here in Columbus, Ohio, because Adam's never been to the Top. And that is the only fucking reason why we're going. Yes.
Yeah, that's the only reason we're going.
Well, that's what we're celebrating. That was the reason, that was the excuse to go, because he'd never been.
That's the excuse?
Yeah, that was the excuse.
That wasn't the excuse I used.
Well, you just said because you want to go.
I said no, that you were planning a boys' night out.
And that too. But it doesn't matter. We're going to the Top. So
it's funny how we make up all these excuses for our reason to go. We're just going to go to the Top.
It's just an excuse. So
in my defense, I've been trying to get my wife. I have a Jeff Ruby
gift card
that I've been
trying
to get Princess to go to since I bought it in Christmas time.
How much is the gift card?
I've realized I don't have enough money.
How much
is $75? I'll need more than that. I get
shit,
it.
Shit, man. I've seen Yelp reviews where people are saying we had 2 appetizers, 2 meals, 3 drinks, none of which were a bottle of wine and a dessert. They got out of there for $350.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I mean, you've got a gift card. You got to use it. Maybe use it for lunch.
Fuck that. I'm going to go have a steak.
I know. But the prices are just, for Columbus, are just too high.
No, it's no more expensive than Smith & Wollensky's.
I know. But I don't go to Smith. I went there once.
Right. Exactly.
With Adam.
Well, we went.
And he was buying.
Princess and I went to Smith & Wollensky's in New York City on the Upper East Side. And we like Gallagher's better. But it was great.
I think Adam and I did like, it was 2:30. But we had a bottle of wine. And Adam had beef Wellington.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And I had a 16-ounce filet. It was pretty great. But we were so full. We had to walk around Easton for like 1.5 hours, 2 hours, just to actually be able to move.
So this was when Princess and I were just dating, and we went to New York City, and just happenstance, good friends of ours. I've known John and Rhiannon, the priestess. Shout out to the priestess. And they'd never been to the city, and they just happened to plan a trip the same week when we were there. And went to show together. And I said, we're going to have dinner at the spot. And John trusted me. And we did bone-in ribeye steaks. And the girls both ordered petite filets. But they were out of petite filets. It was a Sunday night, arbitrary Sunday night. We were almost in the place by ourselves. We had gone to a late show on a Sunday, which it was rent. And they'd ordered petite fillets, and they got the biggest 16-ounce fillet you ever saw. And they both ordered them rare.
Couldn't you cut them down?
They couldn't. What are you going to do with the rest of it?
That's true.
So John and I both ate our bone-in ribeyes and then had fillets for dessert. It was the most obscene meal ever. That's why I love Gallagher's.
Yeah.
Not a person in the joint. We're there. I mean, it's like we had like 9 people waiting on us. And I got to have the most wonderful fucking fillet for dessert. It was dessert. Not cheesecake. New York City cheesecake. I'll take Gallagher's fillet.
Yeah, I would do that.
It was fucking awesome.
Well, anyway, so back to Hudson. So Triple B and I went there.
Easy for you to say.
I did not get the prime rib, but Becky got that. She gets a snapper dish, blackened snapper.
Oh, my God. It's so
and
good.
If you've ever seen this, folks, in the plate, it's golden, and it just looks epic. And when you taste it, it just makes you want to cry. I'm not normally with that with fish dishes. This, though, screw that. This is steak worthy, yeah, the way they do this. And, oh, it's so decadent. Well, I got the rigatoni.
What?
Yeah.
Rigatoni?
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't just... I actually liked it, but have no worries.
I'm scoffing you.
We first talked...
Hudson 29, you had rigatoni. What's wrong with you, son?
Slow down. Slow your roll. Start off with the Wine Country Board, which is very good.
Yeah.
Then I had a bowl of their special soup. It was a shrimp bisque.
He's such a sucker for bisques.
I love bisques. But then the rigatoni was really great. It was
good.
Did
I tell you I made a pork four-way bisque last week?
Yes, you did.
It was fucking delicious, dude.
But wine, folks. I had a couple glasses of wine while we were there. The first, Justin Cabernet. I'm a sucker for Justin Cabernet.
Well, yeah, sucker for it because it's fucking good.
Yeah.
It's my, hey, cuz, shout out to cuz. It's his go-to wine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know that he necessarily buys it by the case. I think he gets a pretty good price at Costco. I think he gets it for like $19 at Costco, which is a good price.
That's a good price. Second glass, though, Chateau Saint-Jean Indian Wells Merlot, or Cabernet.
Make up your mind.
I've had the Merlot, I've done too, but this was the Cabernet. We got a bottle of the Indian Wells Merlot at Jay Gilbert's on my 40th birthday. That was quite good. But the Cabernet, we've had that on the show too. I like that quite a bit too.
Yes.
Far more tannic when you going back to back, but both lovely. But with that the braised beef rigatoni, it was good. I liked it. So after dinner, Triple B said it was like 8:30. Like, we can't go home. That's lame. See, in downtown Columbus, there's a old skyscraper called the Levesque Tower. And it's a Art Deco, everything.
It's new. It's the in place. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive.
Very expensive. But they have a Marriott in there, like the high-end Marriott, and then Marriott residences above that that are like $800,000 a floor.
And you're going to betray this that... The Triple B suggested that this
she, it was
go?
Her idea. Yep. And so
what she went just for the dessert.
Let me explain. So it's called The Keep and it's within Levesque Tower. And if you're in Columbus, you know Levesque Tower. It's the oldest building, pretty much the oldest skyscraper, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah. And for a while, it was the tallest building in Columbus, but it's been surpassed. But nevertheless, gorgeous old building. We go there. It's on the second floor, kind of. You go up some steps. Off to the low ceilings because, you know, this old building. And it does have kind of a keep feeling, so it's a little bit claustrophobic. But to the right is the restaurant, and it's a French restaurant. Actually, they've updated the menu. If you look right now, it's got some pretty proper stuff on there. Lentils. They're doing
refectory quality.
It's the menu is smaller than the refectory too. But
well, of course.
I mean, the refectory is the gold standard. But I'd say it's a fourth place if there's no second or third. But They have a roast lamb loin. Some interesting stuff on there. It's
really,
it's a little more interesting. Yeah. But we went to the left, which is into the bar area, bar and lounge area. And the bar area has a smaller menu, but it actually has a slightly different menu. But you can still do the desserts, and they have actually a decent wine selection, and they're pretty thorough on the board, on the French wines. But
really?
But they avoid going into the stratospheric prices.
So what are you paying for a glass of good French wine there?
Well, there's only a few things that are paid poured by the glass, but they had a Medoc for $12 a glass.
Okay.
That's fine.
What was it? Do you remember? No.
No. But they had some other things. They had a the most expensive thing I think they had was a Chateauneuf Clos de Pop, and I think it was 105 a bottle, 110 a bottle. So they were doing pretty well on that. I mean, it's reasonable. They didn't go into thousands of dollars in silliness. And they do New World, Old World.
Okay.
So they have a focus on French wines, and I think you'd have to taste them to find out if they're any good or not, but it seems like they were doing all right. And so the bar area in there, you have a main bar area where they have a bar. It's a few high top areas. Then a little like couch lounge area off to the side. And then if you go through an archway, you go into this lounge area, Scott, that we need to get a group together and just go up and hang out. It's in a U shape, leather couch, leather couch, leather couch, coffee table, flat screen. Next section. Leather couch, leather couch, leather couch, coffee table. Then you go out the door. It looks over the lobby. Leather couch, coffee table. Leather chair, coffee table. It's just for hanging out. Full bar service in there. And you can eat in there too. Wonderful, soft, old leather couches, comfortable. Just makes you feel like you could just go sit there for hours and spend
exorbitant amounts of money. $5 on a bottle of Chateauneuf de Pop.
That's how you'd want to drink it, though.
Right.
Slightly dark in there. Very nice staff. Not uppity. Normal people.
Huh.
Interesting. Like the server that was helping us. Nice girl. You can meet her in Baltimore, Ohio. It was...
Wait, a normal don't get excited.
No, it was a normal. It wasn't. It didn't have any of the, you know, Abercrombie kind of bullshit. She's just a normal person. Very interesting in that regard. But you had kids walking out of there too. I mean, there was hotel guests, people in pullovers. I mean, it was not necessarily. It's the restaurant for the hotel.
Right.
It's just a little bit nice for the hotel.
Right.
Well, actually, it isn't considering, but it has a wonderful vibe in the fact that. It isn't as poofy as you might think it should be.
What dessert did the Triple B order?
A pancetta?
Really?
Yes. I didn't try it.
What? She had dessert and you didn't try it?
It was across the table. I had a glass of Taylor Flygate's 10-year tawny.
Yeah, you were busy.
And the Spiegel, their proper tawny port glasses.
Nice.
The little stovepipe style. Yeah, it was nice. It was really nice to sit there, look over the lobby, drink some port while Becky enjoyed her dessert. It was a wonderful, lovely little experience. Good job, The Keep. We will be back. I'm sure we'll bring more people your way.
Yep.
It's a wonderful little experience. It's a fun little getaway.
So if you're in Columbus, Ohio, check out The Keep.
Mm-hmm. Right next to the Palace Theater. Do a show, hit The Keep.
Chris Rock?
Is he at the Palace?
He was.
Oh, anything. It's a fun little night. Get a hotel room. I think they're $200 a night.
At least.
But they're the boutique Marriott, so they're going to be very nice rooms.
Oh, it's spectacular.
It's kind of like the Joseph, you know?
Joseph's badass, dude. Mm-hmm. You come to Columbus, that's where I recommend.
Yep.
Stay at the fucking Joseph.
Stay at one of those two places. The Joseph has a little more action because it's in the short north, but this is pretty nicely self-contained.
Yeah.
Uber. But... This is has a little more character, I think.
No shit.
So, yeah, that was a nice little experience. But tomorrow night, folks, we'll be at the top. Should be fun.
Let's talk about my weekend. I did mulch.
That's great.
Okay, that's not.
Well, I also did mowing and fertilizing and weed whipping and rolling the lawn.
Oh.
I got a roller.
You got a roller?
I got a roller, man. Agri, whatever it is. And it was missing nuts, so I had to go buy more nuts. It pissed me off.
Damn it, son.
I know. It went together pretty nicely, though, and I was going to use my mower, then I realized mine's a zero turn. And it's kind of the bolt-on hitch. And those really, you're only supposed to pull about 200 pounds with those, if that, because it's not bolted to the frame.
For sure.
So I borrowed my dad's Brodozer John Deere lawn steamroller thing that new cost 14 grand kind of thing.
Damn it.
Yeah. It's power steering, all that kind of shit, tilt wheel. And it's 60-inch deck. And he has it set really low, so it scalds the shit out of wherever it mows. And it's one of those things where it's too complicated to actually change the damn settings. Mine, I have a little pin. I can just take it out. If I want it to be 3 inches, I can put it in there. Or 2.5. I can change mine in 2 seconds because one lever. His is all hydraulics. And so, you know, you're driving on scalding the shit out of the lawn, but pulling the fucking 250-pound roller, which you could barely do. This massive Brodozer could barely go through high grass pulling a 250-pound roller. Where mine doesn't even flinch. Folks, don't spend too much on mowers. That's stupid.
Well, it's kind of like that used mower you sold me that you couldn't adjust a deck on.
That's because it was broken.
Damn it, son.
Jack off. So we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. Back. By the way, that mower was fine when I sold it to you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You broke it.
It was fucking broken.
Did you get it? You got money back from that.
Yeah, I got money back from
that. How much did you get for that?
Not enough.
Yeah, you paid too much. No, that was a good solid mower. I like that thing. I wish I still had that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'll buy it back from you for as my backup.
What do you mow with now?
Oh, I got a nice Honda self-propelled.
Oh, push mower?
It's badass. No, self-propelled. It's badass, dude.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah, you have to run to catch up with it. It's a workout on a self-propelled.
Mm-hmm.
Honda quality. Oh, and it works. Oh, and I can adjust the height on it. There's that.
Don't be a fool, man. If I felt bad about things, I would be in hell a long time ago. So... the 14 Ronnie Strong Estate Vineyards Russian River Valley Pinot Noir.
Scott.
Let's get a little more here.
I'm just going to put it all out right there. Hey now. Whoa. He was thinking he was going to take those last few ounces.
We're still going to be drinking more off the air, folks. But
so I don't. Can we put something in the Hall of Fame that doesn't start with a 9?
What?
Because I don't think I can go with a 9.
Well, you're
just the first number.
Well, you're stupid if you don't.
All right, I'll take the peer pressure. I'm going to go with a 90. I wanted to go 89 because I think the wine guy is looking for stuff to talk about the fruit expressions that he described earlier in the show where he's talked about raspberry and all these other things. There's not a lot of fruit here. And that's the one thing this Pinot's lacking. But this is a really good Pinot. I love this. This is in the queue for sure for forever. I would pay $20 for this. I'd pay $25 for this. I love this Pinot. It's so subtle, as Pinots should be. But there's tannins there. There's balance. Now, is this going to last for forever? I don't know about the ageability of this. I don't care about the ageability of this. Mm-hmm. This is a good MF-er. It, as soon as I stuck my nose in it, it's a proper Pinot.
Mm-hmm.
I love that smokiness. I love that subtle licorice. It is licorice. It's not anise that runs all the way through it. I'm going to go 90. I really want to go 89, but I'm feeling peer pressure. No, it's 90. That's what I'm sticking with.
Mm-hmm. And now it's on to me, folks. I give it a 91.
Oh, he's a brave man.
Hall of Fame, folks. Good job, Rodney Strong. A surprising 91 and a 90. When you say it doesn't have much fruit, it does. The problem is it's so boisterous in that black licorice ants kind of tannic.
It's not boisterous black licorice. It's all subtle.
Shh.
No.
The adults are talking.
That's false. There's no big fruit. There's no fruit here. It's okay. We're gonna score this high anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. Don't look for something that's not there.
It's a wonderful tapestry of a Pinot.
That's a great description of this.
Mm-hmm.
Wilfred Wong couldn't have said it any better.
Well, Wilfred was a little, you know, it's better than just being in the flavor zone. It defines the flavor zone. It reminds me of some better wines that I've had from Russian River. Possibly a baby scale, but say something called Mary Edwards.
Really?
Yes. That's where this is going.
This is good.
This is a good wine.
What separates this from being a French-style world class is it just doesn't have that minerality.
Well, no, it doesn't have minerality. It's also too... It's jazzy, in a certain sense. Pinot's from that thing, that black licorice that frames it, is jazzy.
Okay. If but it was over the top, I'd say it's jazzy,
it
but
tastes
it's so
like,
it subtle.
No, it's subtle, but it is jazzy. It reminds me of a Russian River Pinot. I've had Russian River Pinots, and that's what they taste like. They are jazzy. They have that little spunk of...
Jazz hands. Do it. Give us a jazz hands. I wish we were on YouTube so you could see the wine guy do jazz hands. That was lame. God,
his worst jazz hands ever. But through that little, almost perfumey... black licorice, tannic structure, you get this beautiful wine that kind of unfolds. I think try it in 2020, and you're going to get a little more of the Pinot that you're asking for.
Look, what do you mean, a little more of the minerality?
It's going to lean out a little bit. And yes, in the mid-palate, you're going to find a little more minerality. Not so much your barnyard funk. You're going to find more of the meaty, more focused minerality.
What's wonderful about this?
Because it's there, by the way. It's just kind of, it is kind of, it's, there's, so you have the meaty minerality right here, but you have the jazzy, you know, all this around.
Jazz hands.
And you don't notice that because all the tinsel.
Yeah.
And so it kind of blends in.
Yeah.
Well, if the tinsel muted down, that's gonna rise up a little bit, or be a little more noticeable.
What they've done so well here. This is proper stock in that it really expresses the varietal characteristic of a Pinot Noir, and yet at relatively an entry level price, 25, 20, whatever.
A Cali Pinot Noir, not a French Pinot Noir.
For sure, Cali. There's a tannic backbone to this wine.
Yeah.
That I think we've not talked about enough, in that so many times these Pinots just don't have, they lack that tannic expression.
Well,
this has a wonderful tannic expression.
Pinot in its essence isn't intended to be overtly tannic.
For sure.
But Cali Pinots are a different breed. And I think that really, if I'm going to make a judgment, I'm going to put them in compartment. I'm going to compartmentalize Cali Pinots and Euro Pinots.
For sure.
Because they aren't.
They're not the same grape,
different approach.
They're different.
Yeah. And so, and even Oregon Pinots are a little over here.
A little different.
They're a little different too. So it's the approach. Mm. And the French oak, I think, the 15 months of French oak.
It's wonderful.
Really gives it that.
Let me ask this. And we didn't. I asked the question, you know, we haven't talked about smoky. Is that where that smoky comes from, the French oak? Where does that smoky come from?
But this French oak isn't charred.
I get it, but is that where that's coming from?
I think it could be just an overall.
It's just the grape.
Yeah, just coming through here and there, peeking through.
Maybe part of the minerality. I don't know.
I think it's little elements that just kind of nod here and there and give the impression of smoke. So, I mean, often where you might have multiple things happening on different levels, they'll give off certain other elements that you might associate with it. Now, would that necessarily be the textbook definition of what you're drinking? No. It appears to be that on first glance, second glance, third glance even. So are you wrong? Not necessarily. But A plus B plus C plus D plus, you know, E equals smoke. But really, it's those five things
that come to that.
Yeah.
Well, I know what? I like it. I like that smokiness in this. I like that.
Good wine. It's a good wine.
Licorice that is subtle.
It knows what it knows what it is. Remember KJ Pinot? Like a 92? It had no fucking idea what it was.
Well.
It didn't taste like Pinot. It was too dark. It was too serious.
It was. This is what Pinot should be.
By the way, that much punch in a wine that's translucent.
It's shocking.
And it's translucent, folks. It looks like a Pinot. Yet the punch this wine holds, the richness and the overall just hoo-ah that this wine has, you would never imagine it by drinking.
There's about five things are my favorite thing in this. Right now I'm focused on how these tannins express, they're wonderful. They're not quite grippy.
Yep.
And for a Pinot, these tannins are perfect.
Oh, yeah.
The tannins are perfect in this wine.
Good wine. Good wine. So, folks.
You know what the shame is about this wine?
What's that?
That's not a 1.5 liter. It's not a 1.5 liter. That's exactly
buy two bottles. Yeah, I know.
Holy shit, son.
But this is still out there. So, folks, a 91 from me, a 90 from Scott, a Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Tip of the cap, riding strong. You're doing
really
well.
I really wanted to test the Hall of Fame with an 89 to see if you would put it in there.
I put a 91. I would put it in there.
I think we
like this as much as we like the Chalk Hill. And the Chalk Hill's in there. We both, I think, a 90 from you. This really appeals to me just a touch more than that, although I like that a ton. These are both great, well-done Pinots. They belong in there.
You know what I'd like to do?
What?
Put them side by side.
That would be good.
That'd be fun.
That'd be a fun night.
That'd be a fun night.
And this is the thing. I think when we say 90, a 90 is everything we think it should be.
I think isn't that
really what it is?
Well, for sure. I think there's a couple lines in the sand for us on the show.
Yeah.
And they both are related to a hard number. 90 and 85.
Yeah.
We have the 85 number kind of sort of is what I drink. Do I want to drink it again?
Yeah.
To some degree, that's our line.
I don't really drink 85s again, but yeah.
But
yeah, I know what you mean.
What I'm saying.
I know.
You know what I'm saying.
It has redeeming qualities we think someone should buy.
Yes.
How's that?
It's not even necessarily do we recommend it or would we buy it again, but to some degree, it's 85 is our line.
Do we think someone should buy it for some particular reason? Yep.
It's our number. That's and then accurate. 90, it's a hard line for us.
Yeah.
You know, we may... You know, we do a lot of wines on the show, and, you know, Rob's high on some, I'm high on some. But an alarming degree in the last 6 months, we're in the same number a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But 90 is an important number for us.
Yeah, and that's the number where we really like it, and we would go out and buy it, no questions asked. Oh, and we often do. Especially if it's in a varietal that we buy a lot, like Zen. We buy a lot of the 15 Lodi Zen.
Oh.
I bought a lot of it. I have a lot of it. I have a lot of the 14 Napa.
By the way, Zen. Mendocino's in town.
Is it? Where?
It's in town. All over the great, the Eagle. Right now, the Ravenswood side is saying that Giant Eagle has it everywhere.
No, they don't.
Gahanna, Bexley, Grandview. That's what they're saying. I'm going to go find out.
Okay. But things like, but we don't buy the Seven Deadly Zins because we don't want to look like Gooches when we go in there and buy stuff.
You're afraid. You have some issues.
I don't want to give him any money though.
Who cares?
I want to give it to Ravenswood. I don't want to give it to him.
Yeah, but we liked Seven Deadly Zins.
It was good.
It was really good.
I don't think it's gonna be good next year.
We'll find out though, won't we?
I don't want to drink.
We'll find out. You didn't want to drink this year's.
Right. It's like click, I'm safe. But next year you spin that barrel, spin that cylinder, you know what's gonna come up. Bang! I mean, that could be that.
Dude, we love that. We probably underscored it. That may be one of the more underscored wines.
No, that was scored just fine.
I don't think so.
I do appreciate the fact that the label came off very nicely. That was very nice.
The charred bottom side. You mock it all the time.
That did come off nicely, though. It does look good in the little label sticker thing. So, bravo there. Warriors worry. That's looking pretty shabby. But
Pino, what would we have a great time having a bottle of Chalk Hill and a bottle of this?
Oh.
Hell yeah.
It would be a night. And that would be a good night. That would be,
who would join us for that? I don't know. I don't know who.
The more people that join us, the less we have to drink.
I think the only person that would enjoy drinking those Pinots with us is maybe Princess. The Triple B, not so much. Steve, yeah, not so much.
Neither one of these are earthy. So the Triple B would be just perfectly fine, but she's pregnant. So Lukey would come out with a third eye if she did that. So that would probably be a no-go. So,
I don't know. In general, she just turns her nose up the Pinots.
I know, but we wouldn't tell her nose. It's Pinot. I wouldn't tell her it's
Pinot. Oh, she stuck her nose in it, she'd know.
Would she?
In this one?
Well, that would be fun to find out. So, folks.
Oh, my God. You're such a bad man.
That's a 90...
pregnant wife
I'm trying
about.
To finish up the episode.
Well, then finish.
A 91 and a 90.
Really an 89, but that's okay.
And a Hall of Fame. Shut up with you gave it a 90 at frickin' no character bastard. So, Hall of Fame, Rodney Strong, tip of the cap. Good job. You've got two on the board.
I love this wine.
Sonoma Coast.
Can we recommend a wine higher than this?
No.
I mean, honestly.
But we have.
Honestly.
But next week we're going to have the Sonoma Coast on, see how it does compared to the Russian River.
Let's do it. Let's just do it right now.
We can't do that. Son of a bitch. So, thank you, folks. And we hope you come join us next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.